Spot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Hi, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. I am privileged to introduce you to Jennifer Haynes, and she is a counselor at Lutheran High School South, my alma mater, Jennifer.
Yes, once a Lancer, always a Lancer.
That is exactly right. But times have changed, and now we're looking at some skyrocketing statistics on suicide, on feeling pressured with depression.
Yes.
And challenge that keep kids from learning. So I've asked Jennifer to come and be my guest today to not only talk about some of the statistics, but what causes those things to happen in young people today. And how can we change the tide? And maybe you have children that are high school age, anyway, 10 to 24. Maybe you have kids or grandchildren that are that age. Keep tuned, because Jennifer and I are going to talk about some tips. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So counseling these days is probably a whole lot different than it was when I went to school, and they call them guidance counselors, and they just kind of helped you pick out your career path.
Correct. Yes, we still do that. That's still a large part of what we're doing. But now there's a larger mental health component that is really entered in. So whereas we're doing a lot, what we call, I think my principal, Mr. Butterfield, would call me, I'm a firefighter. I put out fires a lot. We also, in our counseling department, we have a Lutheran Family Services wellness counselor. So on the school counseling level, you'll find that some kids really have some just serious mental health or just things going on where they need to spend time with someone more than the time we're allowed to see them. So kids, if they need to see someone once or twice a week, then we can make a referral to that wellness counselor. And they'll do a treatment plan, and that's a great thing for us to have. And you'll see, if you look on websites of a lot of high schoolers, there'll be kind of a distinction between a career and college counselor. You'll have like a school counselor, and then you'll have wellness counselors, and you'll also see social workers in schools, because there's just so much that needs to go on now to help a student be successful at school.
Jennifer, share some of the statistics that parents may not know about.
Well, so part of the statistics that is alarming, and I think there's been a little bit of a halt in the statistics because of COVID, and I really don't think accurate numbers are coming out right now for whatever reason. But I do know, so suicide was in the state of Missouri for young people ages, I believe it's 10 to 24, it's now the second leading cause of death in that age range is death by suicide. And that actually came out in 2019 before the pandemic. I think as we're getting into 2022, we're into 2022, as we get into 2023, that number is going to go up dramatically. But also, there is a high school students, and it was a study done, I believe, in 29 to 2021, and it was a longitudinal study, just asking students if they had feelings of sadness and or hopelessness. And that rose from 26% to 44%, which is a very, very significant. And that is, we're getting into the pandemic. But I think, unfortunately, the pandemic, there was terrible things that happened and death. But I think on the medical field, there are going to be advances such as the vaccine. But I think in mental health, this is going to be just a longitudinal study for the next 10 years. We're going to see the impact of what isolation does to high school and teenage students. Because if you ever see teenagers, they're pack animals. They kind of travel in packs, you know.
And yeah.
I don't remember if
teams, yeah.
Yes, if you remember like being in high school and you'd be at like a high school football game, especially the girls, they can't like sit far apart. They're like right on top of each other. And the year of 2020, we were in class every day. And part of our job was to keep the kids 6 feet apart. And that is not what high schoolers want to be. The guys want to slap hands.
Yeah.
And the girls want to be right on top of each other. And there's actually at the core of everything, there's a biological need in teenagers to have that closeness. Because when they are close and they have that interaction with another teenager, neurotransmitters are released into the brain. And that is helping to develop their brain, because there's no other time other than when we're small and we're babies that there's more brain development than when you're a teenager. So, and what doesn't make sense, and which is kind of, you know, I always say God has a sense of humor, is the part of the brain that's developing is the prefrontal lobe. And the prefrontal lobe is really the area that keeps us alive. It tells us, hey, you're speeding too fast, you know, go a little bit slower. And like, I wasn't claustrophobic until I was like 25, 26, because that was probably when my brain was fully, my prefrontal lobe was like, okay, now we're here, we're developed, you know, stop doing that. So we're going to see that by making kids either not go to school, stay home, or stay 6 feet apart, that that's going to slow down the brain development immensely in these kids. So while we kept kids home and I understood the safety at South, we did our best, and it was hard to go to school every day because we felt that that was important for our kids to develop. But I think in the next 10 years, I was just talking to another teacher the other day, we're going to see this impact on brain development, whereas now we're seeing kids, you know, they're not really ready to go out and be adults until they're 25, 26, because just being at home and being parented so intensely by parents nowadays, it's kind of slowed down brain development. And I think in the next few years, you're going to see that number go up to more like 27, 28 in some of our kids, where they're just not ready to go out and be adults. They just don't have that, those tools to make those decisions to adult.
You know, sometimes you think that if kids are doing their schoolwork at home and all that, they're not getting into trouble and they're just doing their work and doing what they do. And then when they go back to school, then you have to worry about all that stuff. But that's not true, is it, Jennifer?
No, it's not. I think we're seeing in the pandemic really encouraged kids. And now that we have these handheld computer devices that just kind of since 2006 has been, you know, it's amazing to me. I remember going to Huntsville, Alabama, and seeing the Saturn V, which is like a huge rocket, and seeing, you know, the first generation of the iPhone up in this huge ring. And it's saying like this could have powered the Saturn V to the rocket, like, you know, it was something like a million times, you know, and how powerful those tools are. But we've kind of, since 2006, it's created a huge problem of isolation with kids where they're just on a screen and they just go and they isolate in their room. And with the pandemic, that even kind of added to that where, you know, oh, we don't have anything to do and I don't have anything to do, but I have to work. So you just go in your room and do whatever because I'm at home and I have to work. And, you know, now we're trying to come out of that, and people got into habits where they're not getting, you know, that interaction, that non-isolation isn't coming back. It's just became a habit. And now people and families are still in that habit of kids just going to their room and being on an electronic device.
So what remedies do you have? What tips do you have for parents who say, you know, my kid fits right in that category, and I tried to get them out of just their media, but I don't know how to continue working on that because my kid just isn't coming out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know, and my daughter's sitting here, one of the things we did in the pandemic, because a lot of the numbers that we're seeing, the increases in suicide and things like that, the data is coming and the trends upward in mental health and death by suicide rates increasing has been since 2006 when these things just became in everyone's hands. And so in our family during the pandemic, I made my children, and my daughter's smiling or smirking over there, we had forced family fun time. And it wasn't a thing that you could, you know, it was just like, you're doing this no matter what. It was like a double dog dare. You're doing this. And so we did that, I think, almost every day. The other thing we did is we were physically active. So we're blessed in our neighborhood. We have like a little pond with a path around it. So it's about a third of a mile around one time. So we had a physical education class. So I would say to Wyatt and my son John, like, hey, you've got to go do four laps, you know, and then we're going to do hills. And then, you know, we're going to go back. You guys are going to have like an hour. And then we're going to have forced family fun time. And they were, oh. But we had a blast. We played a lot of cards. We played foosball. We played some ping pong. So really developing a pattern of togetherness with a family. And one thing that I think that's really broke down in America is just having family dinner. And when you're having family dinner, maybe having the kids, you know, help with the preparation, or even if they're old enough, say, you know, like, I'm busy, I got to do this, so I'm gonna let you guys
cook dinner,
be in charge, or you can even prepare them. And kids are kind of, if you can give them time so that they can prepare, and I know this sounds a little bit off the wall, but if you give them time to prepare to not be with their devices, it actually works better than if you just rip it from their hand, because they are so used to, and I've never been a person that's lived with these, you know, I remember, okay, it's 9 o'clock, you can't use the phone anymore, you know, that's it.
Those curfew type
and
things,
you do these things, you know, if a kid does something, you just rip their phone out of their hand, it is their lifeline to their social network, you know, and you've just taken that away from, so if you can kind of prepare them, that's one way to be successful in it. But I really, one of the things in I toss around like, oh, I'd love to go back to school and do some research, a doctorate thesis on families that are having a family meal. And it doesn't have to be every night. You know, I am the worst. My daughter plays on two teams. I coach at South. I coach a select team. You know, my son is very active in the book. There are nights where, you know, we're scheduled, like tonight, we're scheduled for soccer practice and then going right to a softball game, and my husband's in choir, you know, so it's, we're guilty of it too, but we also know that there's times that we have to sit down as a family and spend time together.
Yeah, that's our family. We made it a priority. Mom and Dad made it a priority that we spent our dinners together. And we prayed together before and after and had devotions. And we all participated in all of that.
Yes.
And with our kids, we did the same thing. But I must tell you, when you ask your daughter, how was school today and what did you do, they tell you a lot. But the sons go, meh, it was all right. So it is a different type of a feel, and you have to think of ways to make dinner more exciting. Hey, we're going to take a break, Jennifer.
Okay.
Jennifer Haynes is my guest, and she's a counselor at Lutheran High School South. We're talking about some of the challenges that teens face today. Maybe you'll hear some tips today that will help you in raising your kids, your grandchildren. I'm Judy Redlich. We'll be right back. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Thanks a lot for coming back to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich, your host. We're talking about kids 10 to 24, not only how the pandemic has affected them, but statistics about depression, that suicide is the second leading cause of death in Missouri. And Jennifer Haynes is my guest. She's a counselor at Lutheran High School South in South County, my alma mater. So I'm really proud to have Jennifer here today. You might have heard the term lawnmowing parenting. What is that, Jennifer?
So we're seeing a trend in parents, and I'm of this generation because my son's a sophomore, my daughter's in seventh grade, of parents who lawnmower anything that might cause their child to feel a negative feeling or emotion. And Judy, I don't know about you. My mom and dad did not do this for me. They just kind of, I was out the door and I just kind of did whatever all day. And then when the streetlights came in, I came
home. They called us for dinner.
Exactly.
And here we were. We rode our bikes and we played with our dolls and we played at the neighbor's house.
Yes.
And they didn't have to worry about us because they knew that we were safe.
Yes. And now it's, you know, with my children when they were little, they looked at me like, oh, you're going to go play with us. And I was just kind of like, oh, this is okay. But what's coming is, and I know this as a parent, when you see your child struggling or in pain, it is the worst feeling. You know, there is nothing worse than that.
And you feel like you failed.
Yes.
And that's why they're in pain.
Yes. But as a parent also and a counselor, I can say kids have to experience negative, you know, whether it's a sad emotion or given experiences where they have to work through themselves, you know, and the Lord has let us know that, you know, there are going to be hard times, but the times that you're going through, you're getting through it and you are developing resiliency. And we are raising a generation that has no resiliency. So especially coming out of the pandemic, where we have students where there'll be, there are some of our kids that are freshmen, they haven't been in school since they've been 13 years old. And they've been at home and their parents have done everything for them. So that when they come to school, they may, you know, that no one enjoys the having to change for PE. Okay, maybe there's someone, I don't know. But no one invented it. It's like something that everyone goes through in high school. And what we're seeing is a student will have a panic attack in that situation, and they're sent to me, and then that panic attack just generalizes to school. And then we'll have schools. I saw a quote the other day. What we do is the student will be at home, and I'm just giving an example of, so they're at home, and mom or dad or grandma, you know, I had a really bad day. It was just really hard. Can I just stay home? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry you had a bad day. And then there's another day. And I forgot who said this, but a great quote I saw is that avoidance fuels anxiety.
So avoidance fuels anxiety.
So the longer that student is at home avoiding feeling negative feelings, the more actually their anxiety grows. Mm-hmm. And parents, I just don't think realize that. They just don't, oh, you had a hard day. I don't want to make you go into some place that it was uncomfortable for you. So I'm going to try to lawnmower the situation and take care of you and help you not feel those negative emotions.
And we will study with you at home and you can learn those things you need to learn in your educational.
Exactly.
Well, so Jennifer, what do you think about homeschooling? Do you think that that is a lawnmower mechanism?
I do not. So in an instance where, you know, there are some times that kids do suffer a trauma and they need at school and there is counseling that needs to be. That is not what I'm talking about here. I am also, I come from a family. I did not choose to homeschool my children, but I'm very close I'm from Indiana. So, you know, I know my second cousins and my cousins and all of my cousins all homeschooled their children. But doing it correctly where you are still giving your children those social interactions. So, you know, going in and playing, you know, at Our Savior where my kids go to school, we'll have homeschool students come and like play basketball on the team. So they're getting that social interaction. So I think homeschooling is great. You know, it's a parent's decision what they're doing. And at South, we get a lot of students that have been homeschooled and then they're coming in as freshmen. And we're cognizant of that because we do have students that just being in the hallways with all these, that causes some anxiety, but some anxiety is healthy. So, hey, you're feeling a little anxiety. And I understand that because you're doing something new for the first time. So we're here to help you kind of get through that. You know, and then after a week or two, or when we sit here in December, I'm going to bring you back and say, hey, do you remember those days you felt anxious? Yeah, I do. Hey, next year, can I lean on you so that I can help and you can help me help the freshmen that are coming in? Because you knew exactly how they felt coming in through that door. But no, I do not feel if homeschooling is done properly and the children are able to interact with other kids, because they really do need social interaction with other children.
Jennifer, we just have a little time left. What tips would you give parents of today's generation?
So I would think the first thing is, you know, what was the first original no from God, or the first, it was really Adam being alone. And God had created, you know, all the animals of the land, and then created Eve so that Adam didn't have to be alone. So my first thing would make sure that your children are not social isolating all of the time. It is a hard battle. It takes about 14 to 15 times of us doing something over and over to develop a habit. So you have to break that habit of your child going in and going in the room and social isolating. I am not saying that it's okay, you know, and students a lot of times, especially if they're introverted students or coming out of this pandemic, they do. They come out of home and they're exhausted. They've been around kids. They've been using their brain. You know, a lot of kids, they need snack and then 30 minutes, 45 minutes of just chilling out. And then after that period, though, try to engage them. But it's, you know, it's whatever is best for your family. If it's, hey, let's talk about, and you can't ask, you know, how was your day?
That does not work.
Yeah, it doesn't ask. You have to ask what questions. And sometimes you need to do things like getting into, for instance, it's on campus at our school, but getting into the computer system that they're using to keep track of their assignments and look at, okay, I could see that my son or daughter did a lab in cell bio today. So, hey, I see that you
did a
Punnett square. You were talking about, you know, you did the saliva lab today. Tell me what you did in that. What was it that you were doing? Not how was it, how'd it go? Because then they'll just say, it was fine. But what did you do? What were the people that were your lab partners? Who did you work with? Do you remember? What did you talk about? Did you talk about? I mean, and you can just go down a whole. So one thing about parenting, too, is when you are responsible parents, understand that every day you have to spend time with your kids. And parents also will get in the rabbit hole of social media. And I see it all the time. You know, you're at dinner somewhere and you look at a family of four and everyone's on an
electronic. On their smartphones.
Yes. Even a 3-year-old's playing a pat. Put those away. You know, so if you're out and you're at family dinner, you have got to set rules. And I'm not saying that it is easy. It is, in the beginning, when you're trying to do this, it takes time because you have to break the patterns that you have set as a parent and the patterns that you have allowed your children to get into. And you have to break them. And it does. It takes 15 to 18 times of doing something to develop a parent. You also have to remember that, you know, if I needed to find information, my dad would tell me to go look it up in our encyclopedia, or he would tell me about a personal experience. Children today do not need adults for information, but it's still important for them to hear about information that you know about and real-world things that can help them. So in most kids, if you can tell them about what it was like for you to parent them when they were babies, kids love to hear about that. So, you know, if you're Googling it, they will go and they'll Google it instead of ask you. And if you hear them saying, hey, Siri, or hey, Google, interrupt them and say, you just were asking about, you know, grunge music. Well, I lived it. I can tell you, you know, seeing Pearl Jam at Lollapalooza. Tell them about your experiences because they really, and it gives you a little bit of street cred, you know, with them too. But they love, and they also love to hear about them as children. They love to hear about, you know, oh my gosh, when you were 3, you were so terrible. And, you know, they love to hear those stories.
4 trees when you were 11 and almost fell out of all of them and all those great stories.
Yes. And the other thing is try to shield them as much as possible from the negative worldview. My parents have moved in with us. They listen to the news 24/7. So we no longer kind of on that floor. We go down into the basement because I don't want my children hearing that negative news 24/7. And some of that social isolation, if they are in social media, they're getting that negative worldview.
Yes.
Also always, and this is one thing we do at Lutheran South that I love, is to remind them that their identity is in Christ. God has a plan for them and has chosen them in their baptism. that there is a plan for them and that they have a unique thing that they need to do. And just remember, their identity is in Christ.
Jennifer, an identity in Christ scripture that's your favorite?
I keep thinking of kids, and this was another thing of having kids figure their own problems out and going to like Matthew 18, because for teenagers, it is laid out how when we have disagreements and arguments and we feel so alone, the Lord has given us directions on how to handle those interactions when we have negative times with other people.
God's word is true, and it always has been true and will continue to be true no matter what the date, the time.
You are 100% correct, and our young people need to know this.
I'm Judy Redlick. Jennifer Haynes has been my guest today. We've been talking about some insights. Maybe you've learned something as a parent. Maybe some teachers are listening as well, and some grandparents. Remember, Jesus loves your children more than you do. And he will give you the insight that you need to be great parents and great grandparents to those wonderful students that are in that age group of 10 to 24. God can use you. Pray and let him use you. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been a privilege.
Thank you all for tuning in. See you next time on Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlick, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.